Proverbs 3:5, New King James Version. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. My title is my text today, Proverbs 3:5-6. God bless you. Please be seated. Congratulations again to all of our graduates and everyone who is on their way to making a new step in life, to becoming a better person for the glory of God. We honor all of your accomplishments today and the families that stood behind them, because it's often a team effort. Proverbs 3:5-6 are life verses for me. I've got a few more that have been a part of my life and guided me strategically at different seasons of my life, like Proverbs 4:23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. But I added that when I was about 30 years old. Now, the entire Bible is inspired by God. Every word is God-breathed in the original writings, and we love all of the Bible. But I really never chose like one of the genealogies for my life verse, you know, something that I was going to apply to my life. But Proverbs 3:5-6 are a life verses for me. When I was an older teenager in high school, trying to find the will of God for my life and chart the course for life, I really did not know what I was supposed to do. So I kind of was, you know, took college prep classes, but I thought, you know, I'm going to be a dentist, and I interviewed with my dentist, and then I was going to be an electrical engineer and got accepted into college for that. And then, you know, my uncle was a career guy in the grocery business and really successful. I thought, well, I could do that and just kind of work and not go to college. Back then, that seemed like a viable option. And I wasn't sure the direction my life was leading. I've learned that the will of God is like a puzzle. We always want to know what the finished picture is going to look like. And really, when trying to navigate life, what you should do is do the obvious things first. My wife's a great puzzle person. I'm not. But you fill in the border. You do the stuff that is obvious. And then the obscure picture begins to take shape as you put the pieces in place where they fit. And I've learned that finding the will of God and following the will of God is much like that. The will of God is more of a journey than it is a destination. It's a path that you walk, not a place you're going to arrive at an appointed period of time. So these verses were really important to me in those years of finding direction for the will of God. I was advised by someone, so I started reading the book of Proverbs through every month, 31 chapters, no big storyline. And every month I would reread the book of Proverbs. I was needing wisdom to make wise decisions, and Proverbs is a book of wise sayings. So I would mark verses and read in a commentary. Later, when I became a youth pastor, worked in a Bible college, worked in youth ministries, when someone asked me to sign a Bible or write my name, sign my name, I would always write my name and then Proverbs 3, you know, -5-6. I wanted them to know that these verses are critical in finding and following the will of God in your life. And I still share those verses every time I write in a Bible or sign a card for a student or young adult. Now, later, I was asked to write some articles with Brother Bernard in the Conqueror magazine on the will of God and career choices. And then I developed a message, a lesson on the will of God for youth that I taught many times at this youth camp here in Georgia. I've turned those notes over to the next generation of ministers that minister to young people because I think it's very helpful. And that lesson ends at Proverbs 3:5-6, because I think it holds principles that will guide your life. That's why I felt inspired to teach on this today. And I decided to let my text be my title so maybe it would rivet it to your mind. So I want to say something about principles before we get into the principles of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That you need to build your life on principles, not pressures. If you live by principles, they will protect you from bad decisions and unhealthy relationships. If you live by principles, you'll actually become a principled person who can be trusted at any level of business or ministry. If you live by principles, those principles will guide you throughout your life and into eternal life. Now, the book of Proverbs is a book of principles, as is all the Bible. Wise sayings, teachings, proverbs, guiding people toward a virtuous life and a successful and long life. In Proverbs, it is emphasized that you should fear the Lord, that the beginning of wisdom is to reverence God in your life, to make him first place in your life. And if you apply your heart to the wisdom of God's word, it will lead you to a fulfilling and meaningful life, and then, as I said, to eternal life. Proverbs is probably the greatest how-to book that's ever been written as part of the book, the Bible, godliness, prosperity, contentment. And it seems like Solomon and the other writers had no boundaries on the topics that would be addressed in these pithy proverbs in this book. So there are scriptures about personal conduct, sexual relations, business, wealth, clarity in life, charity to others, ambition, discipline, debt, child raising, character, substance abuse, politics, revenge, godliness, and many other topics are found in the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Solomon continually contrasts the way that a foolish person goes and the way that a wise person goes throughout their life. The big idea of Proverbs is that wisdom depends on trusting God, and trusting God leads to life and eternal life. But a foolish person does not trust in God, does not live by God's word, and their life is headed for disaster and destruction. Now, let me give you a little structure of Proverbs. First 9 chapters contain 10 speeches, and it's a father writing to a son about virtue, integrity, generosity. And then chapters 10 to 29, all those wise sayings. Chapters 30 and 31 explore fearing the Lord and personified in that lady wisdom, that godly wisdom, lady of Proverbs 31. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I'm going to take it phrase by phrase in this Bible study sermon this afternoon. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Simple enough, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, in a biblical context, to trust in someone or something meant to lean on them, to put the weight of your life, your decisions, and your future on them. I've learned that everybody trusts in something or someone. Some people only trust in themselves, which is a foolish way to live. So leaning on someone, relying on them. The Bible said that King Hezekiah trusted in Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he was warned by the Assyrians, his enemies, that you're leaning on somebody that's like a bruised reed that is not very strong. You're leaning on someone that's also like a very sharp pointed stick. When you lean on Pharaoh, king of Egypt, it's going to pierce your hand. It's going to punish you for leaning on him. The Bible said that some people trust in chariots and some people trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, chariots were advanced warfare, military might, chariots. Horses were blatant power. And that's what they trusted in to win the battles of their life. But when we face the battles of our life, we do not lean on ourselves. We trust in the Lord who is able to give us victory in every situation and circumstance of our life. Trust in the Lord. Put your full weight on Him, on God's word, and believing that, you know, God's word is not just right, it is also best in your life. And when you align your values to the virtues of God's word, that means that you are trusting in the Lord. You believe that His plans are for your best. You trust in the Lord. But when you kind of go your own way, not kind of, when you go your own way, you're telling God, I got this. I don't need to lean on you. I can lean on myself. If you trust in the Lord, the end of this passage, these two verses, is that God will direct your life. Now, Jeremiah 17 gives us a cursed person and a blessed person. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. So that's a pretty vivid word picture. If you don't trust in the Lord, you're cursed and your life is going to be barren and desolate. That doesn't sound like a very good way to live. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. That sounds like Psalm 1, doesn't it? Which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Jeremiah says, the Lord through Jeremiah, that when you trust in the Lord, your life is planted at a source of strength and life, regardless of the circumstances that you're facing in your life. When everything bad is going on around you, you've got something in you because God plants the person that trusts in Him at a place of source. Trust in the Lord, the next phrase, with all your heart. That's part of this first idea. With all. Now, all means just what you think it means in the Hebrew, in the Greek, in English. All, not part, but all. Here's where a lot of people get in trouble. They trust God a little bit until what God says goes against what they want to do. And then their actions speak louder than their words. They may say, I believe this, but what you believe is only seen in what you do, is your actions. You do what you really believe, regardless of what you profess to believe. So when you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, you eliminate anything that competes with God's perspective, God's word in your life. Anything that conflicts, anything that competes with the Bible, you eliminate those voices from influencing your life. Now, they're going to be yapping in your ear. Those voices will always be there, but when they shape your philosophies of life, when your thoughts and your decisions, then it's gotten in your head and you're not trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. It doesn't mean half trusting or sometimes trusting, just like we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, all of our might. Then we're to trust in the Lord with all of our being in every area of our lives. Now, Jesus said something that explains why this is necessary. He said, no man can serve two masters. It's not just that it's wrong to serve two masters. You're not wired to serve two masters. You can't serve God and money, God and the devil, God and yourself. You're either going to serve God or you're going to veer towards serving something else. So we humanly are incapable of serving God with all of our heart, pardon me, part of our heart, and serving anything else even if it is our self-interest or our self-will. So you've got to either be all in or eventually you're going to be all out, because something's going to pull you, and it is your will that moves you toward the most powerful force away from God or toward God in your life. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The book of James 1 and 8 says that a double-minded man, a person who can't make up their mind, is unstable, not in some of their ways, but in all of their ways. So when you're unsure of which path you're going to take, God's way or your way, then you're going to waver, and then you're going to wander off the path of life that leads to eternity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, the last phrase of verse 5, and lean not to your own understanding. Now, I've already said that trusting is leaning, right? So now Solomon says, you're going to lean on God, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding. Well, you might be saying, but you don't know my IQ. You don't know my education. You don't know my success. You don't know my experience. You don't know how much wisdom I have. I know how much wisdom Solomon had, but when he trusted in his own wisdom and multiplied horses and gold and wives, even the wisest man in the world was led astray and sinned against God, because you cannot live your life operating out of your own intuition, intellect, or ability. It will fail you every time. I've watched the people, you know, I've learned that you don't have to be smart to be arrogant. You don't have to be right to be arrogant. People, you know, and intellect is sometimes an ally of the devil, because people trust in themselves, because they see themselves as brilliant, intelligent, and having all the answers, and what a foolish way to live. But I've seen people, they get educated, they gain experience, they accumulate possessions, they have status, they appear to be successful, and then there's this temptation, like King Uzziah in the Bible. The Bible said he was marvelously helped until he was strong. And then when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. So you have to be careful when you have the signs of success in your life that you don't start leaning to your own understanding, that you lean on the Lord with all your heart, right? Amen. Don't lean to your own understanding. One of the smartest, most successful people in all the history, one day he looked around Nebuchadnezzar and he said, is this not the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Look what I've done. Not look what the Lord has done, but look what I've done. I am something. The Bible said that while those words were coming out of his mouth, there was a voice from heaven that said, the kingdom is departed from you. And in an instant of time, he became insane. He lived outdoors like an animal for 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was insane. And after those 7 years passed by, God restored his sane mind, restored his kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar had this to say about his experience. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. God knows how to knock us down from the pedestal we put ourselves on. Romans 1 says that there were people who professed to be wise, but they became fools. Their vain imaginings caused their heart to be darkened. I don't want to ever live in that place in my life where I'm leaning to my own understanding and not leaning on the Lord. The Bible tells us to not be wise in our own conceits, which means don't think you know it all. People who think they know it all really bother those of us who really do. That's what some people say, right? I'm We need God's wisdom in our lives. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You see, when you lean to your own understanding and you reject God in your life, you're not just rejecting one tenet of truth. Like, well, I want to be 95% obedient to God, but this one little area over here, I'm going to retain for what I want to do. You've not violated a tenet of truth. You have broken the relationship. How would it be if you told your spouse, you know, I just want you to know I'm 95% faithful to you. How would that work? I hope you're saying not well at all. Because you're either faithful or not. You either trust God with all your heart or you don't trust God with all your heart. So today I'm encouraging you, I'm challenging you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So that means every area of your life, every facet of your life. This is super important to what I'd call an equation here. Because in my years of living in ministry, I've seen some people who went to church on Sunday, the Lord's Day, and they gave that day to God. Then they gave God the rest of the week off. And they lived like a pagan the rest of the week. They did the same things. They lied the same, cheated the same, talked the same, thought the same as people who did not put God first in their life. But this proverb is so powerful that we need to invite God into every area of our life and never exclude him from anything in our lives. You need him in the big decisions. That's reflected in the small decisions that happen every day in your life that lead to the big decisions. What about your friendships? Is he invited there? That God guides you in your relationships? What about your educational choices? Your career? Your life partner? Your finances? The values you embrace? Every decision that you make? Every activity in which you partake? Is God a part of that? And is God governing those decisions? Or is God exempted from that? And are you living your life just like a humanistic pagan does when it comes to making choices? Have you acknowledged God? Have you made him part of every decision in your life? In fact, the CEO that is the decider of every fact and factor of your life. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And right now, I want to pause. I didn't do this in the 9 o'clock service, but I want to ask you a question. Does God have access to every part of your life? Is there a place, a room, an area that you know does not please God? And you've just kind of shut the door on that. You're kind of hoping against hope because really deep in your heart, you think that this is going to work out. Even though I know it's wrong, you're trusting in yourself. You're leaning to your own understanding. You're not acknowledging God in this area of your life. And I'm just going to tell you, not because I'm a prophet right now, but because the Bible will tell us there's a way that seems right to a man. And the end thereof are the ways of death. So today you should align yourself to the will of God in every area of your life. Acknowledge him. In verse 6, the last phrase says, and he shall direct your paths. Now that's a promise. Have you ever had a tour guide? Took you to a place you'd never been? Showed you things you didn't know anything about? They were directing you and showing you where to go and how to get there? God is the director of the paths of our life. Maybe you're the chief character in the script of your life, but it is God that can direct you away from calamity and towards success and beauty and eternity and blessing in your life. He will direct your paths. Now, the word direct here comes from a Hebrew root word that means to make smooth, straight, and right. It's more than just guiding you. It's really preparing the way before you. The way of the transgressors is hard, the Bible says. When you go against the grain of the way God created you in life, you're going against the tide, the grain of what is best for you. And you're always going to be bumping into obstacles and opposition. You're going to be making mistakes. You're going to be reaping the consequences of bad decisions. And it happens over and over. And the laws of sowing and reaping are even transcending the laws of forgiveness. God can forgive you, but there are still consequences from bad decisions. John the Baptist prophesied about in Isaiah. Luke tells us that this, that he came to prepare the way of the Lord. He came to bring down every mountain, bring up every valley. He came to straighten out every crooked place and to make the rough places smooth. So what John the Baptist did for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was to prepare the hearts of people for Jesus to come. But this verse says that if you will trust in the Lord with all your heart, not lean to your own understanding, acknowledge God in all your ways, that God will go before you. He will raise up those treacherous low places. He will bring down all those difficult high places. He will straighten out all those crooked places. He will smooth out the rough ways in your life. Who would not want God to direct the paths of your life and make your life beautiful, prosperous, successful, and eternally secure? I need God every day in my life. Now, the promise he will direct your path is conditional on these other three criteria. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And when you do that, the Lord gives us this irresistible invitation that he will direct our paths. So I told you my story a little bit as an older teenager trying to figure out the life path, direction, career. And I was stuck. I really thought that finding the will of God was this hard thing, that my friends that were not saved, they just got to pick a career and I had to find the will of God. And I've learned that the will of God is the greatest asset. What a mistake it would have been for me to try to chart my own course and make my own way. When God designed me for what I'm doing today, he made me, shaped me, and he directed my path through those early difficult years of trying to figure out what is my life all about. But before I was a preacher, before any of that, someone directed me toward this verse that became my life verse. See, life is a journey, and graduations are called commencements. It's your commencing on a new season of life, a new journey in your life. We have a lot of people in our church who are at crossroads, strategic crossroads in your life, and you're thinking through and in the process of making decisions. And you may think that that decision will be in a vacuum, that it's just isolated there. But every decision you make every day, every choice is connected day after day after day to shaping the course of your life and what you are becoming in time and also in eternity. So today, I want to challenge you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, to not lead to your own understanding. In all your ways, I encourage you to acknowledge God every day with the promise that he will direct your paths. Now, Jesus said there's a wide path that anybody can go down. Pick your path. Pick the way you go down that broad way that leads to destruction. But there's another way. It's the path of life. It's a narrow path. It takes some work to find it. You've got to seek God, seek his will, seek wisdom. But if you will obey God's word, God will guide you toward a life that is better than you could have ever dreamed, because God will guide every step. Let's bow our heads and pray right now. Dear Lord, I pray for every graduate. I pray for every student that over the summer, Lord, they're going to make decisions about how they spend their time, what they do, who they associate with. They're making decisions, Lord, for educational paths and career paths. And they'll make decisions, Lord, for spouse and life. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me as a confused 17-year-old. Helping me not make critical mistakes at a crossroad in my life. Thank you for being patient with me when I couldn't see the future. Thank you for guiding me even when I didn't know the pieces of the puzzle you were putting into place in my life. Thank you for showing me, Lord, to do what I knew was right at the time and let the will of God unfold. All of us, Lord, all of our lives, not just in our youth, Lord, are making decisions that are affecting us, other people, and our futures. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would teach me to trust you with all of my heart. Teach me, Lord, not to lean to my own understanding. Teach me, Lord, to acknowledge you in every facet of my life so that you can do what you promised. You direct the paths of my life. In Jesus' name. Thank the Lord for speaking to us through the tongues and interpretation, emphasizing what is preached to someone today that needs to take heed. If you're able, please stand. Trusting the Lord is more than just a word. It is leaning on God in every area of your life. Maybe today you've been trusting in yourself. You've not been living for God. But today I want to give you an invitation to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, by turning away from your sins and turning toward God. I want to give you an opportunity to trust in God by taking the name of Jesus in water baptism. I want to give you an opportunity to trust God today by receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost that will change your life forever. You see, trust is more than a word. It's more than a single action. It is a way of life. I really feel in my spirit that there are people who are at crucial crossroads today. Every decision counts, but you're at a crucial crossroad, ready to make a life-altering decision. And I am calling you today to make the right decision by trusting in the Lord.